Welcome to DS Smith Q1 IMS call. For the duration of the call, you'll be on listen only, and at the end of the call, you'll have the opportunity to ask questions. If at any time you need assistance, please press star zero on your telephone keypad, and you'll be connected to an operator. I'm now handing over to Mal Roberts to begin. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us today. I'm Miles Roberts, the CEO of DS Smith, and I'm joined by Steve Dryden, our Finance Director. So this morning, ahead of our AGM, we're pleased to release our Q1 interim management statement. I would like to take a few minutes to run through the highlights of that statement, after which Steve and I will be delighted to take any questions you have. Before getting into the detail, I would like to say that we are pleased with the performance of DS Smith through Q1, and we're also very pleased with regards to the integration of SEA Packaging, on which we'll be updating the market at our 100-day presentation in 5 weeks' time. So in terms of trading and looking at the group as a whole, trading has continued fully in line with our expectations, with good corrugated box volumes in the legacy DS Smith business, slightly ahead of our GDP plus 1% target. And we have seen particularly encouraging volume growth continuing in continental Europe. And yesterday, we announced that Rock 10, the major US supplier of packaging, and DS Smith have entered into a strategic alliance, executing a licensing agreement that gives Rock 10 the exclusive rights to manufacture and distribute our corrugated packaging designs and to distribute our packaging equipment in the United States of America. Now, running through some of the highlights of the packaging business, as I'm sure you're aware, on the 30th of June, DS Smith completed its acquisition of SEA Packaging as planned. Accordingly, net debt has increased commensurately, and SEA Packaging is consolidating the accounts of DS Smith from this date. The integration work is proceeding slightly ahead of the planned schedule, and we are pleased with the progress to date. We very much look forward to updating investors with more details at our scheduled presentation on the 11th of October. And with regards to the outlook for the full year, we remain confident in the strength of the transformed DS Smith business model, with a good performance in the legacy DS Smith business despite the ongoing tough trading environment. SEA Packaging trading has been fully in line with our expectations, again, which reflected the difficult market conditions. We continue to expect to deliver a return on capital from the acquisition above our weighted cost of capital in this financial year. Our significantly enlarged geographic footprint has positioned us better to meet the demands of our pan-European customers and to deliver substantial value. Thank you. Steve and I would now welcome any questions any of you may have.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do wish to ask a question on this call, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone. And we have a question from the line of Alexander Mace from JP Morgan. Please go ahead, Alexander.
Oh, good morning. Three questions for me, if I may. The first one just relates to continental Europe. Clearly some very good growth happening there despite a poor economic backdrop. Could you just touch on whether that relates to market share gains? And if it does, what underpins the market share gains? And are you able to quantify them?
Well, as you know, we've seen very consistent growth on the continental Europe from our business for many quarters now. At the full year, we put in quarter by quarter. It's never dropped below 3% like-for-like volume growth, and that's continued. What we're finding is the focus on FMCG. It's a good category to be focusing on. It's very resilient, so the underlying market's doing reasonably well. Secondly, we put a lot into product development and having the right assets to support our business. And we've been very pleased with the take-up of our customers of that. And thirdly, getting the service and the quality right. You know, it hasn't been right over a number of years ago. We put a huge amount of effort and we've been rewarded by more business. Now, whether that's a market share gain or not, I'm not really too sure. What I know is we're growing and our relationships, etc., with our customers are good and we are investing in our business. And those are the reasons why we're growing.
Excellent. And just secondly, you comment that margins are moving up as you would expect with the operating leverage of the business, but presumably there has been some pressure from input costs. Can you just give us some colour on those?
Yeah. I mean, we saw input costs, and for us, there's energy, starch, inks, and obviously paper, and we buy most of our paper from our suppliers. And we had seen pretty consistent increases up until about December. And then it started to flatten off, and now we've seen raw material costs start to decline. And actually, we think they've, at the moment, they seem to be pretty stable. I wouldn't be surprised if they started to increase in the future. As you know, we have a very short pricing agreements with our customers, typically about 3 months. So prices go up, we recover the costs. Prices come down, we hand them back. And the reason for the increase in margin is, firstly, obviously, we've... Whether raw materials go up or down, we just pass that through. So we are making the same profit, but obviously the turnover is lower because raw material costs have come down. It's also as we continue to improve our business, focusing on the right categories and driving efficiency in our organisation. We talked about the UK coming together. We talked about procurement. We talked about operational gearing. All of that's having the effect to drive margins. And you see it in the return on capital. You know, that's our primary measure, return on capital invested. And we're here to show our investors, good times, bad times, we add value every year in the cycle. Not on an average, every year, and that's what we're setting out to do.
Excellent. Just finally, on the announcement yesterday with regard to Rock 10 and the agreement there, can you just give us some further colour on the implications of that, please?
Well, so... as we've been investing in product development, we have a lot of patented designs. It's not just in the box, it's the way the box is made, it's how it's constructed. It's about the machines that are used for the end of our lines. This is one of the reasons our volumes have been very strong on the continent. And those big customers are global customers. And they want that same technology in other regions of the world. And Rock 10 have come to us and asked if they can license it. We've obviously worked with our customers. So those global customers can have the same solution no matter where they are in the world. And that's what this means. It's for us, it's a first. We're unaware of anybody else who does this sort of licensing across major markets of the world. And it shows just how global our customers are becoming. And it also shows this is patented technology. People often ask us about, well, it's just a cardboard box. Where is the IP? Where is the value? It's not just the box. It's the way it's constructed. It's the machines. It's the supply. And this is showing the value that that we're able to add to that. So we're absolutely delighted. We've got to work with them now to see how we can really grow that business and get it into the marketplace. But we're really very encouraged by it.
Excellent. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you. Our next question is coming from the line of Robert Easton from Goodbody Stockbrokers. Please go ahead, Robert.
Hi. Good morning, everyone. Just in relation to input costs, you mentioned that you wouldn't be surprised if they go up in the next couple of months. Just in relation to that, I was just wondering what your comments are on the recent announcements for kind of a €100 increase for containerboard prices and just your outlook for OCC prices as well. And just also in terms of your comments on volume, you've given us a bit of colour on mainland Europe. Can you just give us a bit more colour on the UK and how volumes have trended over the last number of months?
Yeah. I mean, with the UK... volumes have been I mean, to be honest, they've been pretty flat, really. Slightly increasing, but, you know, if it goes up 0.5% or 0.75 or 0.25, I mean, it's broadly flat, and we aren't seeing any real change to that. The overall market is pretty stable, and we are, you know, we're by far the largest supplier in the UK, and we're trading in line with that market. When it comes to input costs, we are seeing some increases. We use a lot of starch. Obviously, starch can come from a variety of sources. Corn, etc., is one of them. So we're seeing increases there. We're starting to see some energy costs start to go up. We do read about people announcing price of paper going up, etc. I mean, frankly, it is what it is. Our job is to recover that in the shortest period possible from our customers. But our outlook is for, it just feels like raw materials that start edging up. I don't think it'll be anything dramatic, just, I think it'll just be a steady increase. That's what we're planning for, but time will tell exactly what happens.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Miles, just maybe two follow on then. In terms of, you know, just given your substantial position in the recovered paper market, OCC, like, what is your outlook there? And just going back to the Rocktown announcement yesterday, can you just give us any sense of the scale of the licensing agreement?
Yeah.
For example, you know, in terms of in relation to the product that is on, like, what percentage of your group sales does that represent? Just give us a sense of the scale.
So taking your first question with OCC, we've it's been increasing quite steadily. It's been reducing. It's stable. The outlook is, I think, fibre OCC is going to increase over the coming months. It does depend a lot on China, as you know. The Europe, and particularly the UK, export a lot to China, so it depends where they are. That's partly what the they can also source from the US, and it's the dollar, sterling, dollar, euro exchange rate. But we do expect OCC to increase over the coming months. I don't think it'll be dramatic, but we'll see that. I think we'll see that that tick up at a modest rate. And in terms of Rocktown, you know, some of the our largest customers, where they can be, you know, a good couple of percent of our turnover. So our turnover is substantial. So talking about a large business in Europe, those customers in the US, and the US market is, in terms of corrugated packaging, is a very similar size to Europe. So we are potentially here. We're talking about some very significant customers who want the technology in a very good economy in the US that's growing. Time will tell, but you know, we're dealing with big customers here. We have substantial business with them in Europe, and they have the same size of business in the US. So let's see how it develops, but we really are quite excited about it. Rocktown they've made a similar announcement. They're saying to the market, we have the Dear Smith technology. That's what they're announcing in the US. We've now licensed it, we've got exclusive rights in the US, and they are starting to market heavily. These guys are, I mean, they're a fabulous company. They're putting a huge amount of effort behind it because they know the value this can give to our customers. So time will tell, but we're excited about it.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question is coming from the line of Hector Forsyth from Oreo. Please go ahead, Hector.
Hi, morning, guys. Just a couple of questions from me. I wonder if you could say by segment, i.e. industrial and FMCG, how you're seeing volumes trending both across the UK and continental Europe. And second question is, if you're able to at this stage, just give us some colour on the customer reaction to the FDA deal and the realities of what they're offering you, and if you can just say any response from them, any additional volumes, etc. I know you'll give a lot more detail on the 11th of October.
The growth that we've had in the group, which has been very pleasing, has come from FMCG. That's where we have put a huge amount of focus. It's very resilient and it's growing. So that's where the growth comes from. As you know, about 25% of our business is industrial, and that's broadly been flat, stroke slightly increasing. If you split those by the UK to the continent, most of our growth is on the is in the continent, so it's virtual FMCG in the continent. UK industrial has actually held up reasonably well. It's not that dissimilar from FMCG. Some of our customers are actually the UK car industry, and that's actually been doing quite well. We've seen quite a reasonable demand there. Construction's still poor. Aviation seems to be doing reasonably well. So, in summary, the growth comes from FMCG. Industrial is more flat. UK is broadly flat on both. So it's continental Europe FMCG, which has really grown.
Very
pleased, yeah. And with the customer reaction, that we've created something that doesn't exist today. And you've got our large customers are coming around more and more behind what they call power brands. They're coming much more around operational excellence, sites of operation for particular products, supplying Europe. So increasingly they want the same packaging that runs through their lines in the same way. Customers like Procter, you know, they want our machines in their factories, no matter where the factory is. So they have to have the same packaging. And we've created something that just hasn't existed before. A real, genuine, pan-European supply, high-quality assets with a huge development, with a huge focus on development behind the business. So as you can imagine, if you're a customer, you're going to feel positive about it. And they've been very positive. But positive sentiment is good. What we need is to really extract the value from that. And we hope over the next year, 18 months, we're going to start to see the value of that come through. And again, we'll outline more on the 11th of October. But we're pleased with the reaction that we've had.
Fabulous. Look forward to that presentation then.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
No, thank you, Hector. Thank you.
Thank you. We currently have no further questions coming through, so just another reminder. Please press star 1 if you would like to ask a question. And we have a question from the line of Mike Murphy from Numis Securities. Please go ahead, Mike.
Morning, guys. Once again, can I just ask about the plastic packaging division, the performance of that in Q1, please?
Plastics has been good. No question about it. It's been good. We've seen continued growth there. Huge amount of innovation. This is LP&D, liquid packaging dispensing. This is the bag in box. We're pleased. Combination of improving operational performance. We've rationalised some facilities. Just we focused on operational excellence, but new product developments coming through at the same time. But it's good. We're pleased. It's part of the reason that the corrugated's done well as well, driving the bag-in-box format. But very, very pleased with that. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, just one final reminder. Please press star 1 if you would like to ask a question. We've got no further questions coming through. So I'll hand you back to your host to wrap up today's call.
Well, firstly, thank you again for your time this morning and for your interest in DS Smith. As I said, trading has been fully in line with current expectations that reflect the difficult conditions. We're pleased with the progress with the SCA integration to date, and we'll outline more on the 11th of October. And we view the outlook for the remainder of the year with confidence. Thank you very much for your time.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining. You may now disconnect your lines.